smoke detector of yours. I swear to God. I mean, what is it going to take me to fly to Seattle?
Is it still going off?
Yes.
You haven't mentioned it in a year, so I figured it had fixed itself. Sorry, just one second.
I mean, really, it's going to take for people one day finally come to visit in Seattle, which I want to go visit Seattle since I've never been. Fucking go to your house. The first thing I'm going to do is stop at a place, buy a few 9-volt batteries, and just head over there and fucking fix it.
Yeah, okay. You'll have to, like, stand on my shoulders or something to reach it.
Well, I'm sure I can bring the ladder that I just have that I was recalled.
Yeah, there you go. You know, it is on our list to very soon... well, not very soon, like someday, get a slightly taller ladder than the one we have so we can reach, like, there's
all right,
like,
well, let's get started. Come on, we're gonna go. Come on, let's get the show on the road. And you can tell me, you know, about the fact that you don't have a fucking ladder.
Well, yeah, okay. We'll include this as an intro, but yes, anyway. Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner, everybody. It is Tuesday, May 21st, 2013. I'm Sam Minter. As you hear, Yvonne Bo is here, and we're talking about my smoke detector and ladders and stuff. I do have a ladder. I just don't have a tall enough ladder to reach the... There are various places in my house with high ceilings that the ladder I have that I brought with me from places I've previously left and was tall enough to reach the ceilings there, or at least all the ceilings that had anything on it that we cared about... is just not, it needs to be like another 2 feet tall.
Well, I guess that's one of the advantages.
I have an 8-foot ladder and I need like a 10 or 12 foot ladder or whatever.
It's one of the advantages of me living in a condo where we actually have a maintenance guy around and he's actually got a very long ladder. So just when I need to get to, I have some very high smoke detectors.
Yeah,
got vaulted ceilings. They could go reach that. But
yeah, see, we got the smoke detectors in a couple rooms that are high up. We've got a couple, like there's like these chandelier light bulbs in one place that are kind of high up. Although you can sort of reach over and pull them from the balcony or from the second floor, you can sort of reach out. But I figure if I'm reaching out over the balcony trying to change light bulbs, I'm just going to fall over. So that's probably not a good idea.
Yep.
And then there's some in the garage, and I figure the magic moment is going to come when the light in the bedroom goes out, because it's way too tall to get any other way. And once that light goes out,
once that light goes out, I'll you'll
turn
get
on
a lamp.
Some lamps. Yeah.
That's exactly it.
I've already got some lamps in that room. It'll probably just be fine.
Exactly, he'll get some lamps. Yeah. Of course, I went this weekend. I was doing something on a ladder, and I will say that I thought I had seen a notice that maybe the ladder I bought was recalled, but I didn't pay. Normally, I pay a lot of attention to this kind of stuff, and this time I was like, whatever. Well, I got on the ladder and it broke. It's like now,
oops.
Now I did not get hurt.
Good. I'm glad.
Okay, you know, now it could have been quite bad. I will tell you. But it was not, because it happened to be at a moment where I was going to fog our attic, okay?
So bugs or rats
for bugs,
or something.
Right, just, you know, being a little bit precautionary, okay? So, you know, it's hot, it's Florida, you get them, okay? So the baby and wife were out, they were already in the car, I was going to go fire up the fogger, close up the attic, get out. The moment that I'm up there doing that, all of a sudden the ladder goes crunch. It breaks, like, underneath me. Now, I lost my balance, but I managed to grab myself and not fall.
Excellent.
Okay, so, but I would have, I mean, imagine, my wife, I guess eventually she would have come upstairs and said, what the hell's going on
and
with that?
And found you, like...
Yeah, exactly.
However.
Right.
Like the two interesting ways for that to have ended were, one, of course, you went flat on the ground on your back or whatever, and the other is dangling from your attic.
Yeah. That would have been interesting. Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway. All right. So we've got a real show.
We're
going to
talk. Yeah. Google I.O. Apple is in trouble for taxes. And I have a few little fluffy things. Like I went to jury duty this morning, so I want to talk about that a little bit. And then Yvonne has some notes about the 787, and I have some things to respond to that about. And then finally, there's, you know, as we're talking right now, there's breaking news events earlier about, I guess it's been like 5 or 6 hours now. There was a massive tornado in Oklahoma, killed a bunch of people, and they're still, like, you know, essentially counting the casualties at this point. I have some thoughts, not necessarily on that, but I might riff on it a little bit. And so that's the plan. So where do you want to start?
Let's go with Google.
Okay. Google I.O. happened. Google announced some stuff. I admit I'm not as riveted when Google does this stuff as when Apple does this stuff, and so.
Well, I don't think that a lot of people were riveted.
No, I know,
to it,
and
so,
I've been aware that it was there. I listened to a few people talk about it. I listened to a few tech podcasts that mentioned various stuff about Google I/O, and I read some articles. And honestly, not very much of it stuck in my head. Yeah. You know? So what were the big things that are worth remembering?
Well, obviously everybody kept talking Google Glass. Okay.
Well, they didn't really want that. It wasn't like they kept bringing it up, even though Google was like, let's not talk about that right now.
Right. But people kept bringing it up. Yeah. Okay.
I know Scoble talking about the Google asked the first question.
The they were talking about the Google cloud services,
uh-huh.
The rollout. Yeah. Okay. How it's competing against some company in Seattle's services.
Microsoft, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It was totally Microsoft. Yes, it was, actually. I guess Microsoft and some other company.
Yeah.
Here's the thing on the whole. I've been reading a lot on cloud and web services as they stand right now and the different providers. Look, I get that for most companies that have decent bandwidth available, They got ahead in that direction. There's a lot of reasons for it. Okay, if you're a medium-sized company and you're managing your own data center, usually you don't have security, redundancy, and a lot of things. Managing these services is a pain in the neck. Getting the available capacity that you want is a pain in the neck, and so forth. There's quite a lot of reasons why you want to move into this space. The thing that I'm looking at all the different providers and and what they provide is I'm still trying to see what the hell the big differentiator is, because maybe it's just me, but it just doesn't rivet me. And Google is out there talking about it. I mean, because think about it. It's almost like – I mean, this is like almost talking – being riveted by talking about your power company, okay? Mm-hmm. Really. Because it's not like they're providing an application that's going to make your business go, wow. No. They're just trying to migrate something that maybe you have in a box to somewhere over there, and you pay a monthly fee for service. And I'm just – and obviously people have been pushing people to do that for years and years. But I guess my thing is I'm trying to understand why – Google is investing so much money into this, because it seems to me like everything else that they've done, I keep always asking, where the hell's the damn payoff? And I don't get it. All right. Because they must have spent billions of dollars in this damn thing. Okay. All right. At this point. And they talked about how they have this super fast backbone internet that they built themselves and all of this shit. Bah, 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 bah. I'm like reading it. I'm like, well, great. So they just flushed like I don't know how many billions of dollars on this shit, right? And I'm like going, where's the payoff? I don't know. And that's I guess that's the whole thing. Everything that I kept seeing, like at Google I/O and almost everything is talking about, whether you're talking about Google Glass, Google I/O, all of this shit. Am I missing something here? They talked about that music service also they were launching right now. I don't know. And people were bidding the stock up through the roof this week as this conference was going on.
Uh-huh.
Like, they announced the next thing since sliced bread. And I'm, like, going through this thing, and I'm like, okay, what am I missing here? But I take it that you weren't also very...
You know, well, like I said, like, I came out... I it's not like I didn't pay any attention. I mean, I read some articles, I listened to some podcasts, whatever. And it's just, I came out of it not thinking... There was nothing that came out of it that made me go, ooh, ah, that's pretty cool. It just didn't happen. And nothing even... Like, I'm trying to think, okay, what did they even announce? What did they talk about? And it really doesn't, like... Nothing even comes to mind, really. And I know there were updates to various products. They announced some updates to Google Maps, and they did this, and they did that. But, and I think you're right. I mean, all in all with Google, you've asked the how do they make money question many times on the show. And, you know, what they're betting on is that they can continue to just collect more and more and more information about more and more people in more and more different ways.
But you got to figure out that, to do something.
And then at some point they can
do what?
Something. I mean, well, so far the only thing is like the targeted advertising, but it seems like that's you can't sustain like the massive amount of company they have on that alone. It seems like.
I think that you can. Okay, you could keep going for a long time. I mean, look, it's a profitable business. Don't get me wrong, but the one thing is that it's not advertising. Look, people are not going to go. There's not going to be a massive shift of other dollars from something into advertising.
Well, so
okay?
what I wonder is when does it go beyond? Like the natural next step is to go beyond advertising to selling specific information about people.
Selling specific information. So you were talking about doing massive data mining, which would allow you to sell specific information about people. Well, but then
right.
You
so
know
like,
how they, listen.
So like, give me the email addresses of and account information of everybody who's expressed interest in, you know, cows. Yeah. Whatever. You know.
Okay. Well. I mean, you know. Do their terms of service allow them to be able to do that?
We know that we've always talked about this before. Their terms of services allow them to change their terms of service. So what they are now makes absolutely no difference to anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but how good is okay? So it's big data, basically.
Yeah, and it's like, and maybe they've got like.
This is one of the most overused words of this year, but I decided I wanted to use it.
There you go.
I haven't found a good place to use it. There you go.
Next year will be megadata.
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 Now it's big data.
Keep in mind that term. You will hear it again.
Yes.
anyway, but you go beyond that, like. That's their fundamental like tension on all of this is all of the ways that they could potentially monetize this information have a possibility of really pissing people off. Now, maybe they're more subtle things like, you know, hey, based on absolutely everything that everybody, you know how they've determined that they can know several weeks ahead of the CDC that there's going to be a flu outbreak in a city based on the searches on Google, right?
Okay. Yeah, I can believe that.
So maybe they start leveraging the same kind of information, you know, to manipulate the stock market.
Well, that would be interesting.
Or maybe they use it in other ways to gain business advantages that says, hey, it looks like, you know, people who work at such and such company are, you know, searching a lot about this topic. So they must be about to get into that business. So maybe we can do something with that information.
Well, stock market or not. Let me put it to you this way. The couple of times that happens, you know what's going to happen? There is no executive in their right mind that would allow any employee to go and like use Google for anything. Okay.
Yep.
They just block it off. Use Bing, use something, use anything. Use what was the Wolfram, whatever the hell.
Wolfram Alpha is completely different, but they'll have everybody using DuckDuckGo, which is the one that promises not to track you in any way.
Right. And whatever, any other. Okay. All right. But other than this,
yes. Well, I don't know. Yeah, it's, but like you can figure out, and there are all kinds of non-corporate things you could potentially see that too. Like, just think of all the wealth of data that comes from people's behavior. People's, you know, they've got their search, they've got Gmail, they've got this, they've got that. Let me give you an example.
But here's a problem. Okay, they have the same problem that. I'll give you an example of somebody that has massive amounts of big data that they could do a lot more shit with, but they can't, okay? Not as much as they would like. Credit card companies.
Yes.
Okay,
And the problem is with all of these is if they start doing this, they get all kinds of backlash and sabotage themselves.
That's right. Okay.
And first of all, you've got the possibility of people abandoning them as a platform. Like you said, if people get wind that, like, you know, Google isn't just targeting your ads for you, but they're actually reading all of your Gmail and doing detailed things with it or whatever. And, you know, people get creeped out and people start looking for alternatives. But also, you've got the massive fear of government regulation of, like, if you abuse what information you've got, then it's only a matter of time till people get pissed and then people start passing laws about it, and you know the government's going to be incredibly ham-handed about that and pass really bad laws about it.
Damn straight.
And it just becomes a complete disaster. And so, yes, and that's what people sort of rely on, is companies like this will self-police and not go too far. But I think we've seen, you know, both Google and Facebook, which are both in this business, and there are other companies that may be thinking about this as well, you know, they're clearly pushing the limits and trying to figure out where the limits are and trying to change people's mindsets to expand those limits further and say, you know, it's actually okay if we do this because you get this benefit from it. That's a good trade-off, right?
I guess they'll try that. But anyway, going back to the whole Google, you know, IO thing. Okay.
Yes.
Well, it's, you know, not very earth-shattering. I don't know. There was some stuff that I saw and I was like, okay, you know, that sounds interesting. Yeah, they got a big fast cloud. Yeah. And, you know, and yeah, it's really sweet. And I don't know. Yeah. Okay. Streaming music. Yeah. Okay. All right. But I don't know. Look, and by the way, this is not me just riffing on Google. Look, the last Samsung event was almost the same shit with the Galaxy S4 launch, which everybody's saying was amateurish because, I don't know, they did some really weird stuff. I mean, even some of the last Apple announcements that we've had have not been exactly, like, you know, blowing everybody up.
No.
Yeah, no.
I mean, the last really, oh my God, this is, you know,
the iPad launched.
Would be the iPad, yeah. And
absolutely.
And even then, just, you know, there were all... there was a lot of attention on the iPad, and there were a lot of people like you and I on this show saying, you know, this is going to be something. I think you were saying that. I know I was saying that. But there were also a lot of people poo-pooing it and saying, big iPhone, this, nobody's going to use this, it's too expensive, blah, blah, blah. But there was no question that when it hit, it hit.
And the thing about the iPad is what, unlike a whole bunch of this stuff, is that it was a disruptor.
Yeah.
Okay? That was a big disruptor in an ecosystem. This took revenue away from other people were spending stuff before and other shit, and they decided, you know what, we don't need to spend it on that. We're going to spend it on this.
You don't think Google's streaming music thing will do that?
Not particularly, no. Okay? I mean, I, you know.
How about their enhancements to Google Maps?
What do they do?
What are they? They rolled out. It's going to have a different look and feel and more local information and tying into like local coupons and I don't know, you know, all that kind of stuff.
What the hell? Oh, gosh. Wow. I'm so enthralled.
You know, I
downloaded the Google Maps app on my iPhone and then proceeded to almost summarily delete it because I tried it. By the way, I really did not like it.
I was not impressed by it either, to be honest. It was okay. The Apple one was okay, despite all the bad hype it got. It was actually, whatever.
Actually, I got to be honest with you. I've been using more, but there have been a few updates to the Apple one, a couple of stuff. I will tell you this, that last week
it's
I needed to
better?
Go to an address. Yes, much better. I had to go to an address in Orlando, And even though I have my car, I need to use DVD maps, but I had just recently gotten an update on the DVD maps. I went to put in the address, and it wasn't there. Okay?
Ah.
It was not. And I'm like, oh, what the hell? And so I went, I put the search for the name of the place I was going to. Boom, it found it in 2 seconds. Okay. I drove the 200 miles from my house to that address, and it got fine. Me there perfect.
There you go. So okay. Now, I'll give you the 10-second update of my Apple GPS iPhone adventures. I had pretty much settled. I told you last time the two best ones were Waze and Garmin. I've pretty much settled at this point to I alternate between those two. I think if I had to pick for normal everyday use, I like Waze better. Even though Garmin's got a better display and some other stuff, the main advantage of the Garmin, which I mentioned before, is offline maps. If you don't have an internet connection, it'll still work. So if I'm leaving town and going out into bumfuck, you know, mm-hmm. I want to have that Garmin one there. But otherwise, I like the Waze one better. Even though it's like missing, you know, like the Garmin one has like the stuff that tells you what lane to be in and graphical pictures of the intersections that are coming up and all kinds of other whiz bang features. It lets you put in more than one destination and blah, blah, blah. Waze doesn't have any of that stuff, but I just like it better. Anyway, and of course, there's rumors that Facebook's going to buy it, which, of course, if they do it, I'm sure they'll ruin it. But anyway.
Of course, and Yahoo bought Tumblr. And
yeah, right, Yahoo
and
bought...
anybody for a $1.1 billion, dude, we got to come up with something. I feel like I'm the ultimate idiot, okay? All right? I swear to God. Because if why can't I convince, okay? Look. Autonomy convinced HP to pay them $10 billion for nothing. These guys at Tumblr have almost no revenue, no profits, and Marissa Meyer paid $1.1 billion. Dude, I should be able to convince somebody.
They got lots of people using it, though.
Damn straight. Sure. But do you make – it's like somebody going and buying Wikipedia. There's a lot of people using it, but – where's the money? There's no advertising. Every contributor, it's all for free. I don't know.
Well, and of course, Wikipedia is run as a nonprofit and takes donations right. to keep running.
Exactly.
But the thing with these is, yes, exactly. Like if they take this on, and even if their mindset is we're going to get all these cool users, they're going to have to they're going to want to figure out, okay, how do we monetize this better?
Right.
And then they're going to like. Inject ads into it, or they're going to do something else with it, and they'll spoil the experience for the people exactly. who love it, and they'll and stop using know. It.
Exactly. So what the hell?
They've promised it'll retain independent management,
but
blah, blah, blah.
That's fine or whatever, but what the hell? You at some point, listen, you need to recoup. You paid $1.1 billion for it. Okay? It's not, you know, it's not two bits.
Right.
I mean... How are you going to generate, you know, you need to generate $100 million in profits a year out of this thing, really, to make it worthwhile. And right now, I think that the total revenue it had last year was $14 million. Total revenue. Wait, nope. I stand corrected. $13 million. And in order for this thing to pay off, they need to generate $100 million in profit a year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but I mean, here's the thing that I don't understand. I don't understand why these people overpay for this shit. Dude, I think they would have taken $100 million.
Quite possibly.
Why $1.1 billion for the love of God? I don't get it. Anyway, I need to come up with something. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I feel like an idiot.
You can figure out ways not to make money, and then yeah. you know somebody will pay you for it, right?
Exactly. I got all sorts of crazy ways of doing that. And by the way, they'd be a lot of fun too, and probably a lot of people participating in it.
Oh, there you go. Well, see, that's all you need, Yvonne. You stop restricting your imagination by trying to figure out businesses that can be profitable.
I know, heaven forbid, what a fucking idiot I am.
Exactly. So you just have to think, okay,
How do I just attract a lot of attention but not generate any revenue?
Attract a lot of attention. Don't worry about the revenue. The revenue will take care of itself. You know how the revenue will take care of itself? Google will pay $1 billion for your company.
Exactly. There you go. Okay, all right. Okay, good.
And so, you know, and you know, you can probably get some venture capitalists to, you know, to throw in a, you know, a few million in startup funds just for like, you know, your one page proposal. Or, you know, fuck that. Put it on Kickstarter. You know, people are giving all kinds of money for all kinds of things.
God. Well, I heard, which one was it? Was it Tumblr that went that, or some other that got its start? No, I can't remember. They just basically sent a letter to Mark Cuban, and somehow he wrote him a check for $10 million.
I hadn't heard that, but okay.
I'm like, what? Really? Is that all it takes?
Why would it take anything else? Come on.
I guess not. Shit.
Okay, let's take a break. We've sort of talked about all the tech stuff. We moved on from Google I/O to some other things, but we haven't talked about Apple taxes yet. So why don't we do that next when we come back? And we'll take a break. There'll be a thing. You'll hear it, and then we'll be back and talk about that thing I mentioned. Was that clear?
Yes, very.
Okay. And we're back. So, you know,
can I mention something?
Yeah, that go ahead.
For some reason, I wound up downloading a whole bunch of podcasts into my car iPod, which normally I don't load podcasts
now,
in.
No, wait, let me guess. You downloaded the last year of our podcast and listened to the
sequential. No. They're random dates. I was listening to one earlier today from 2011.
Oh, of our own. You really were listening to her. I thought you were listening to other people's stuff.
No. Of our own.
Yes.
And
yes.
And I was listening to one from 2007. Okay.
That was a while ago. Yeah.
It's, you know, so I'm listening to.
So were we completely full of shit?
No. Number one. Okay. But the one thing is that on the one in 2000, I haven't listened to one of our podcasts in a while. I did listen to one of the breaks. And I could not stop laughing from the break.
Was it one of the ones of me singing?
Yes. I had heard it before, but I hadn't heard it in a while, and I gotta admit that was quite funny. But actually, we were not full of shit. Okay. As a matter of fact, the one we were listening to. But anyway, I just wanted to let you know that yes, I had been listening to some of our vintage recordings recently. So back to
Apple
taxes.
So now we've actually heard in the past. This is not the first time anybody's mentioned this. We've heard, for instance, that whenever people are demanding, like, hey, Apple should give back more of its money to its shareholders and things like that. One of the reasons that has been said why Apple is reluctant to do that is because so much of their money is overseas and there'd
That's
be tax
correct.
Consequences for bringing it back, etc. But today, apparently, and look, I was just going through the lobby of our building today, and they've got one of these TVs turned on CNBC, and I saw that there was somebody sitting there in the Senate talking about Apple, blah, 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 and I only saw enough of it to realize it was about Apple trying to do some sort of tax dodge thing and using tax shelters overseas, which I don't think is a surprise to anybody, but tell me more.
Well, let's be clear, okay? All right, they were accusing Apple of doing of dodging taxes, okay? Yep. And look, Apple was doing what every company that does business across the world does. They were trying to balance how they show their earnings in order to pay maybe not the lowest amount of taxes they could pay, but certainly a lower one. Okay. So, and the thing is, I have no idea why they were like charging on today about Apple, because they are nowhere near the worst offender in when it comes to this regard. Let me give you a rundown. I pulled up four major American companies and their tax rates compared to Apple. Apple paid last year under taxes an effective rate of 25.16%, okay? IBM paid 26, okay, at around the same. Mm-hmm. GE paid 14.3%, okay? And Hewlett-Packard, on the last year they made money, which is 2012, they paid 21.2%. All of them use the same strategies, every single one. If you go and you grab our Fortune 500 and go through each one, every one of those that does a lot of business internationally does the exact same thing. I have no idea why they were like.
Just to be specific, what is the exact same thing we're talking about? What is it that they're doing?
Basically is that, look, when you're a global company and you buy and sell stuff all over the world, okay? So a lot of the times you have to do internal transactions where you buy and sell stuff internally from one subsidiary to the other, okay? So a lot of them have taken advantage and incorporated in certain places subsidiaries that they affect transactions internally to sell merchandise, okay? Especially a lot of the value add from lower tax locations. A big one that, by the way, is used by Hewlett-Packard and Apple, okay, both of them, is Ireland, okay? Ireland has some beneficial tax treatment specifically, which I can't remember exactly how it works, but the bottom line is it's very tax advantageous to do transactions going through Ireland. And you know, a lot of major American corporations, I remember GE as well, use Ireland in order to do those transactions. So, look, I mean, the essence of the problem is that they operate worldwide. It's a complex taxation system. You can go and you can do transactions like this, and reduce your taxes, and the fact that because the way that the U.S. does their taxes, unless you repatriate those profits, you don't have to pay taxes in the U.S. And that's just a product of the taxation system we got. In the written testimony that Tim Cook proposed, so what he said, listen, let's do this simply. Why don't we forget about this repatriation? Why don't we just lower the tax rate in the U.S., which is the highest in a corporate tax rate that any of the developed countries have, and we make an incentive so we bring that money back into the U.S. and then pay those taxes. And you would effectively pay more taxes because, as a matter of fact, they are paying taxes. When you look at the effective rate, a lot of taxes are being paid offshore. So, look, it's the system the way it is. I mean, I don't think, you know, like Apple's doing anything that is not – by the way, they said specifically that what Apple's doing is not illegal.
Right.
Okay? So, however, the headlines are like, Apple's going out with – you know, listen, so is Apple, so is GE, so is GM, so is HP, so is IBM, so is Google, so is, you know, so is everybody. So this isn't an Apple problem. This is a corporate problem. I don't know. But I guess it was just I guess Apple makes now because they make so much money, made it for a big juicy target.
Well, yes.
I don't know why they pick on Exxon. I don't know. I'll tell you how much Exxon paid. I mean, you want to go like on that one? Let's see. Exxon paid. I'll tell you in a second. Tax rate takes me. Here we go. Boom, boom. Sorry about that. I should have had that handy. It should have been the best one.
Well, look. 31.
Actually, wow. They paid quite a big, steep rate. I'll tell you what.
I think, look, there's an argument here that says, you know, maybe
Exxon paid 39.4%. Wow. Damn. Check this out. Their domestic out of $78 billion in pre-tax income, they paid $31 billion in taxes. However, do you want to know how much U.S. taxes they paid? Out of 31, $2.4 billion only.
Right.
That's it. I mean, as a matter of fact, this is hilarious. In 2009, they got a tax refund of $700 million in the U.S. Exxon. So,
The deal with all of this stuff is, though, I mean, if you want to say that this kind of practice is wrong, then, you know, especially if you're a senator, you know, there's a solution to that.
Change the fucking law!
You can't expect companies, or individuals for that matter, to be like, hey, look, within the law, I can do this and pay a lot less taxes, but you know,
there's a big deficit. Yeah, let me help out.
Yeah, exactly. That's not going to happen. If you want a different outcome, you make the law different. But you know, fundamentally, on any of these tax questions too, part of this is all related to all the complexity with it. I mean, you know, the tax law is intentionally complex in order to make it, you know, because everybody needs to put in their little loophole for their little constituent, or they're trying to, like, affect behavior. So, you know, hey, we want more people to own houses, so we'll do this home interest thing, and that'll help out the bankers, too. And, you know, it's all like, you know, because is it really about people owning houses, or is it really about, hey, let's get mortgages going, and that'll do a spin on the financial industry and blah, blah, blah. You know, who's really got the clout that's pushing for laws? But anyway, the point is, it's immensely complex because there are all kinds of interests that drive each little bit of complexity. You know, if you really want to be all nice and fair about it, you get rid of all that shit and you do a how much did you make, multiply by this fraction, give it to me.
Yeah, exactly. You're done. You're out.
You know?
Yeah. Would be quite simple. I mean, that way, you know, and I mean, my God, the amount of time that we spend, like, filling our taxes and filing and doing. I mean, good Lord. I mean, look, I mean, I spent, I will say, put at least 5 business days, mm-hmm. like, putting together my taxes. It's crazy. It's a lot of time.
Well, and I've mentioned before, like, you know, if there might be other things to do, like, you know, get rid of the income tax entirely, get rid of property tax, just have a transaction tax. Just take something off the top of every single transaction where money changes hands.
Well, they do that. I mean, that also creates certain perverse.
No, I know. But it also disincentivizes other things. So, you know, no matter what scheme you do, there are perverse effects. I'd mentioned the other day, screw taxes entirely. Just print money. You know, that also has its
advantages. We could print a lot of money. We could be print, you know, have the printing presses run a baby. Woohoo! I love that.
Anyway, so, like, I don't know. If you're upset at Apple, change the freaking law. Don't be upset at Apple for doing the best they can given the
laws. Just don't go and single out Apple.
That's true too. I mean, it's not like you said, they're not the only ones by any means.
I mean, you wanted to go do this, then you should have trotted out, take the top 20 Fortune 500, fucking trot them out there, and go and, like, trot them all out, because it's not just Apple, it's everybody. I mean, I'm sorry, like I just said, Exxon got a fucking $700 million tax refund from the foreign government. They paid $20 billion in foreign taxes. What the fuck does that mean?
Well, not to even mention that many of these companies get government subsidies as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So.
Yeah, okay. We're rapidly going long. Let's take another break. And we got a bunch of smaller things, so we'll do another segment with a bunch of smaller things and then wrap it up. So we'll be back after this. This is Sam here with an opportunity for you. Yes, you heard me right, an opportunity. For you loyal listeners of Curmudgeon's Corner, You know, every once in a while, Yvonne can't make a show. And I do a solo show. Which, you know, I think I do okay. But, you know, it's always interesting to have a second person to bounce off. And just in general, sometimes it's good to hear another voice. If you, yes, you, have some things to say about the kinds of things we usually talk about on Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, politics, current events, news, tech, then drop me a line at abelsmay@abelsmay.com letting me know. And hey, I'll keep you in mind and maybe ask if you can join us sometime, either on a regular show with Yvonne if it's something particularly pressing that you maybe have an expertise on, or just, you know, hey, an opportunity to co-host when Yvonne is out. Who knows? Now, I am not guaranteeing that if you send me an email, you'll definitely get on the show, but let me know if you're interested, and I'll keep you in mind. Thanks, and now, back to the show. Okay, here we are. So I just wanted to mention, and this sort of riffs right off the taxes thing before. I had jury duty today, and I did not get on any jury, anything like that.
I was thinking you're going to give somebody the death penalty or something. I mean, I was just like, you know,
yeah, that's
Sam
so
came
mean.
Back and he was going to send somebody to the gas chamber or something or whatever the heck. Do they have a death penalty in the state of Washington?
I don't even know.
You don't even know? Really?
I have not the slightest idea.
Oh, for God's sakes.
but look, here's the thing. So I completely screwed up this jury duty thing.
Why?
So I got the form saying that I was supposed to come in, and it has instructions here, you know, step one, step two, step three, right? And as far as I can tell, I ignored steps one and two and only did three.
Uh-huh.
So step one was respond immediately, fill out this form, mail it to us. Okay. And so I apparently like completely blanked on that step, because step three is like, you know, call this number the weekend before. And so I just like, and it's in a big pink box. So like my eyes were drawn to the big pink box. And so I was like, oh, that's all I have to do. I don't have to fill out this form until I get there. Even though step one, important, respond immediately with the form. You could apparently do it online too. But I realized that I hadn't filled out this form and I needed to on Saturday. And so I tried to do it online, and it would not work. Okay.
The system's like shut down on the weekends or something?
I don't know what was up with the system. It didn't give me any error. It would show the form, but there was no submit button. I couldn't edit any of the fields in the form. And, you know, there was even a button that said ask for help, and that did nothing. And I tried in on my Mac, I tried in Safari, Chrome, and Firefox. And then I'm like, okay, I'll try in Windows. And I tried in Internet Explorer, for God's sakes, on Windows. I think it's the first time I opened up Internet Explorer in probably like a decade.
And?
No, nothing. It didn't work there either. So I'm like, oh, what the hell? So I'm like, okay, I guess I'll just have to take the form in and apologize for not having sent it in beforehand. And then they're like, call the weekend before for... you know, for reporting instructions. Okay. And, you know, the back of the form tells you like where the building is and what time to show up and all that kind of stuff. But so the main reason for these reporting instructions presumably is to tell you if something changed. I don't know. So I called Sunday around.
Yeah, they may tell you they don't need you. I've seen people that's happened to.
Exactly. And so I called Sunday around, I don't know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Something like that. 12:30, 12, something, midday. Anyway, so I get a recording, and I'm thinking, okay, cool, I'll get a recording that tells me either I have to go in or I don't have to go in or whatever. The recording I got said, our office is closed. Please, you know, we're open from, it was like 8 a.m. to 10:30 and 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. And I'm like, what the fuck? I said, okay, so I have to remember to call back in at like 2 o'clock. So in the afternoon, I'm going, you know, I'm going to a movie with my family. We went and saw the new Star Trek movie. Okay. And that was a little bit of a clusterfuck because, you know, my family's all running late and I'm freaking out because we're running late and, you know, anyway, so that was a mess and we were all yelling at each other. It was fun. But anyway, at 2 o'clock when they reopened, I was in the midst of freaking out because we were going to the movie, and then we had the movie, and by the time I got out of the movie, they were closed again. So I never called the damn number. Well, I called the damn number, but I never got it.
You never got anybody. Right.
I never got anybody. Right. So like, so I'm like, well, fuck, this means I have to actually, I didn't know what they were going to say, but it means I definitely have to go in at 8:30 in the morning, Monday morning to do this. Right. And also, by the way, I'd blocked off on my work calendar 2 days for this. Cause it's, you know, it said, you know, for the 20th and 21st, right, is my, the days I'm supposed to be there or whatever. But I'd accidentally blocked off the 21st and the 22nd instead.
God, this is going well for you.
So I actually had like a meeting scheduled.
Oh, that's great.
You know, which by the way, I had scheduled. It's not like somebody else
that's
invited.
That's even better. Oh, that's even better. Okay.
I had scheduled this meeting with a couple other people from work that I'm like, we got to talk about this thing, you know. Anyway, so I get there at 8:30, or I get there early. I get there at like 8 o'clock. You know, they direct me to go sit in these chairs over here, and somebody will come get you. So the 8:30 comes, and 8:30 goes, and I'm the only one sitting there. And then it gets to be 8:15, and I'm like, okay, I'll go back up to the officer who told me to sit there and say, nobody's come to get me. And they tell me, okay, go up to, you know, I'm guessing maybe it was canceled, and because I told them I tried to call, but I couldn't get in. But they're like, maybe, you know, they didn't need anybody today, and they would have told you that on the phone if you'd called the way you were supposed to, jackass. They didn't say that, but I can't tell you to leave because that's not my job. Go up to the county clerk's office on the third floor or whatever and ask them. So I go up to the county clerk's office on the third floor, and I wait in line for like 15 minutes. Okay. And so then I get to the front of the line and they're like, we have no idea what the hell you're talking about. We don't have anything to do with this. Why don't you go to this room number that it says on the form that they sent you? So,
okay.
So I'm like, okay, fine. They sent me to the next floor, the different floor, whatever. So I go there and I go find the room. And first of all the room numbers are like apparently random. I don't know what the hell order they were in. But like I'm wandering around the damn courthouse trying to find this room. I finally find a room that like has the right number and the door's locked. So I'm just sitting there. I'm standing there in front of the door, obviously looking clueless. And so some random court employee who is walking by is like, can I help you, sir? And like, I try to explain this whole thing to her and she's like, first she like starts trying to take me down to some other courtroom. And then she finally gets what was going on. And she's like, oh, okay, wait right here. Don't move. And she runs off and she's like, I'll find out what's going on for you. She runs off somewhere and then comes back like 2 minutes later and says, oh, you're done. You don't, they don't, you're done. You're dismissed. I'm like, okay.
So that was it. You were dismissed almost, and you just didn't know.
I was dismissed and I didn't know. And then I went back to the parking garage to leave and discovered that at some point during this process, I'd pulled my jury duty summons thing out of my pocket and also pulled my little parking slip for the parking garage out and lost it somewhere.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, that's genius. This is great. So I finally go
back to work and like the only thing on my damn schedule for the day was that one meeting I'd set up. Right. So right. I basically take the morning off. Okay. Even though I was done with all this shit by like 9 o'clock. Right. I go home. I take the kid to school. I actually go into work, but I decide, I'm like, I'm not quite ready to work yet. So I sat in the lobby reading for a little while. I said, I'll go up after lunch. Okay. And actually start working. And then I get an email that the people that I was meeting with that I'd set up this meeting with want to push it back to tomorrow. And that's, you know, I probably would have just taken the whole fucking day off. You know?
Oh, that's just...
Anyway, that's my jury story. And, you know, that's actually not where I was going to go with this. I was going to go into the whole, like, hey, maybe picking people randomly would actually be a decent form of government instead of electing, you know, these people who, like, connive to get elected. But, you know, whatever. I've said that before about the Electoral College. But I think in general, for lots of things, like, you know, I'll have some minimum set of qualifications and then just pick people at random. And if they meet the qualifications, boom, you're senator.
That's it? That's it. How it should work?
That's how it should work. You'll probably get a better crop of people and certainly a more representative crop of people.
Well, I'm not going to argue about that, but still, anyway. God.
And then, you know, like to avoid corruption or whatever, you could sequester them the whole time. From the moment they get picked until they're out of
they're
office.
They're sequestered. Sequestered. Right away.
Yes, right away.
Well, there you go. Well, that'll be something. Did they get contact with their family?
Maybe for good behavior.
Okay. All right, then. All right, so you basically just suck at going to jury duty.
I apparently do, yes, I do. And, okay. Enough of that. You know, I'd said we were going to mention tornado stuff, but, you know, I was just going to go into another riff about how, like, we misallocate resources based on how human beings tend to not consider risk properly. And one example of that is, like, you know, how much money did we spend on, you know, wars and anti-terrorism and stuff like that? And, you know, whereas... you know, additional safety stuff that could make a difference in places that are, like, for instance, tornado prone or prone to other natural disasters, you know, better building standards, safe rooms in public places, blah, 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 blah. You know, for a fraction of the cost we spent in Iraq, we could do all those kinds of things, which probably would have saved lives here. But the larger point is even, like, maybe that's better than spending money on, like, going to Iraq or the fucking TSA. But even then, you know, you look at death statistics and, you know, the human tendency to completely discount the normal is amazing, like in terms of how much money we spend on. Like the top 10 causes of death in the United States, 2010 numbers. And don't get me wrong, we do spend money on quite a few of these, a decent amount of money in some cases, but not compared to things like, you know, the infinitesimally small number of people each year who are killed by terrorism compared to these numbers. So like we got the top 10: heart disease, cancer, respiratory disease, stroke, accidents, which includes cars and weather, stuff like this probably gets in that category too, Alzheimer's, diabetes, kidney disease, the flu, and suicide. Those are the top 10.
Wow.
And, you know, so really, like, if you think about it, maybe you do some sort of cost-benefit analysis, but basically, you know, we should be spending a shitload on those 10 issues and figuring out ways for prevention first, and if you can't prevent, treatment for all of those. Way ahead of these other things that are going on. And so I was frustrated by that. But I think that's all I have to say there. And then finally, unless you have something to say about that. You wanted to mention the 787. And once you mention what you mentioned, I have something to say about it too.
Well, no, I mean, basically that finally today, I mean, they did the first flight in the United States after all the modifications and stuff.
First commercial flight, I should say.
First commercial flight, yes, with passengers, and, you know, everything went fine, and, you know,
go ahead.
What I was going to say is, the problems that the plane had in terms of, like, the batteries and whatever, they don't know what the original source was, but they've been cautious enough about building enough safeguards and protections and redesign around the battery and everything that it should be non-eventful from now on.
So now, do you think it was an overreaction to ground it for however many months it was grounded? Or was it appropriate?
No, I think it was the appropriate reaction. I think that, you know, they had a couple of issues. I mean, they did have a couple of, you know, batteries that malfunctioned and caused one of them caused a fire. Okay. And they couldn't figure out why. And so the two options that they had was either A, you find a source, the cause, and so therefore fix it that way, or B, you do basically what they wound up doing is like complete redesigning it in a way with enough safety features that even if a fire happened, that it would not be consequential.
Right. So now the one thing I wanted to say, and I just sent you a picture that's not a 787, so don't like yell at me for misidentifying a plane. Nope. I know what it is. But first commercial flight is important because those 787s fly over my house all the freaking time and have been flying all over my all over for like the last few months. And you know why that is, Yvonne?
Because you live near Boeing.
Exactly. I am 5 miles from Payne Field. Mm-hmm. Which is the now I don't know exactly what the division of labor is between the big Boeing plant they have south of Seattle and the one they have up here, but the bottom
that's the Payne Field is where they do all the test flights.
Exactly.
Out of.
And yes. I know that at the very least. I think they do some other stuff too, but they do all the test flights out of there. So like before the first 787 ever left, they were flying over.
Oh,
here.
Oh my gosh! I just realized what that's a picture of. I said, "Wait a minute, what the? That's the new 7478."
This is Sam for the future. For reference, in case anyone cares, what Yvonne was referring to was I had just emailed him a picture. I later posted that same picture on my blog. It's a post entitled "Saturday at Payne Field." It's on abelsmay.com. It was posted on Wednesday, May 22nd, in case you want to go look. It's just me and my son Alex at the air show right at the fence looking at a 747 passing by on the runway. You know, exciting stuff. There you go. So, and it was
because
doing
Lufthansa took delivery one of the first passenger ones.
So let me tell you, what I sent you a picture of is this weekend we went to a little air show at Payne Field, which was very interesting because, you know, they had like at air, and I tweeted a little bit about this, but at your standard air show, they have like, you know, they had old vintage World War II planes doing stuff, and they had some biplanes and they had some other stuff, but they never closed the airport for the other things it does. So it'd be like this: World War II plane, World War II plane, 747 landing, 747 parking right next to you where all the people were hanging out for a little while because you were on the taxiway that it normally goes down. Then let's do a, they did a, what you call it? What was it? The Lufthansa that did this? No, it was. Then they brought out a 787 to do a short taxi test or something. Anyway, where they get it up to full speed and then slam on the brakes.
Oh, yeah. So they did the aborted takeoff test.
Yeah, they did. They did one of those. And then,
oh, cool.
And then they were this Lufthansa jet landed there right in the middle of the air. And by the way, random. Small plane traffic like Cessnas, too. So it'd be like 747, World War II plane, Cessna, 787, like in rapid succession. It was kind of interesting. It's like this has to be one of the few like American airports where you get that mix of traffic all on one runway.
Like, probably, I would say like the only one, my lord. Because, you know, most of the big look, you don't see small commercial traffic at, say, Miami International, Chicago O'Hare, that kind of stuff. And the thing is that you don't get on the airports that are like medium sized, say like an Indianapolis airport, where you get small and big traffic, you don't get 747-8s and like 787s coming in. You get 737s and whatever and MD-80s and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and so this 747 apparently, and we went in the afternoon to this air show, but it had been going on all day, and apparently the same 747 took off from that airport about an hour or two before we left, and it had taken off from here and was going touch and goes at another airport to test that, and then it came back here in the afternoon, you know. And these things are flying overhead all the time. And before, when they were first, what's the big Boeing version of the Guppy, that big, huge
cargo thing. Yeah. They call it the Dreamlifter.
Yeah, that's flown over my house a few times. Low, by the way, because we're 5 miles from the airport, so it's coming into a landing over our house. So, and it's not a lot of traffic, because it's not like a real commercial airport, although they are thinking of some limited flights in a few years. But, like, so it's pretty cool. You get all kinds of weird stuff here. And we went to this air show, and like I said, it was neat because of the mix. Because, like, the air show people were like, oh, and here's the, you know, Commander whatever and his World War II plane. And then it's done with its little show. And, you know, they do typical air show things where they fly at each other and they do maneuvers and fly in formation and stuff. And then they're like, we're going to take a quick break, because this Cessna is taking off. And let's talk about the Cessna while it flies by. And then, and next, here comes the 747 in for a landing. It was pretty cool. Anyway.
Okay, so next time that one of those things happen, I got to go over there. I want to see that.
Okay, we're out of here. Any last words, Yvonne?
Obama's not resigning this week.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I made a short term prediction.
Very short term prediction, and I think I can go with you on that one.
Okay, good.
I think I'll go with you on that one. And if we are both wrong next week, we'll, you know, I don't know, do something. Anyway, that's it. Thank you all for joining us. As usual, email me at abelsmay@abelsmay.com. Share us on your social media. Tell people about us. You know, all that fun stuff. And we'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.